Now, my text is in the book of Joshua, and chapter 14 and verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. It's an account of an elderly man. He seems to be around the age of 85 when he begins his great work in his life. And I think Moses also was 80 when he started his ministry as well. So I'm encouraged to think that God not only uses young men, but also can use elderly and even old men. It is thrilling to think, and the perseverance. It's after a time of great disobedience and great wandering from God and great rebellion. Yet this man was faithful all the days of his life. He was a good man, and he's worthy of study. Now, the scene is in the Old Testament in the time of Joshua. Now, we come now to put you in the picture, if you remember. The children of Israel were in Egypt. Then Moses brought them out. Then they came to the edge of the promised land, but they disobeyed. They said a very bad thing. And for 40 years or more, they wandered in the wilderness. It is a sad and an appalling history. And yet Caleb remained faithful, and Joshua. Now, we come now to the after the wandering of 40 years, to the promised land again. Last time they did not enter, but this time they enter. So that's our position. That's the general background. Joshua 13, verse 1. Now, Joshua was old, he was old as well. Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, he's rubbing it in, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Look at the command of God there. You're very old, Joshua. You're very old. And yet the work is not half done. There is very much land to be possessed. Now they crossed the Jordan at last into the land of promise. The time has come for Joshua to give each tribe their portion of the land. So they were going to share each area, so that each tribe that belonged to the children of Israel, that they might have their particular area and leader. It was 40 years since Moses led them out of Egypt in order that God might bring his people to the promised land. And now they have arrived at last after much tribulation. In Joshua 14, verse 1, and these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel, distributed for inheritance to them. Now, by lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. So there would be no argument. It was going to be by lot. That is a scene that we have, and there is great excitement and anticipation. Now, enter Caleb, and he makes a request. Give me this mountain. We'll go to that in a minute again. He rouses himself, all his strength, to ask. He's 85. He rouses himself with all his strength to say to Joshua, no, not by lot for me, give me this mountain. It is necessary for us all to rouse our strength in order to claim the promises of God. The request is a big one. Lord, give me this mountain. And this should be our burden. During the last years, increasingly so, there has been much more attention to physical activity. I'm not in any way criticizing that. But one thing I noticed and admired, some young men running rather slowly, then quickly, then with great speed, and then jumping and trying to clear a bar high above. Now, how do they do that? Do they just decide, oh, I think I'll jump today? Oh, no. Years and years of strenuous exercises, and when they come, they're straining every muscle, and they also have a concentration of mind. They think of nothing else but that bar. The body is in good trim. The muscles are strong. They have practiced for years, and now they go for it and rise like an eagle almost over the bar. It takes determination. Are we willing, as a chapel here, to use our spiritual muscle and with all our strength rouse ourselves and go over the bar and say to God, give me this country? I think it was Seth Joshua, one of the Forward Women's men, started missions in Wales years ago. His little boy was playing truant in Sophia Gardens. And he was there. He used to pray aloud. And the little boy heard him pray, Lord, give me Wales or I die. That's how strongly he felt. How much do we rouse ourselves to get up and be about the things of God, pleading in prayer? Oh, I can't be bothered to talk with God today. Why should we? We should. We're answerable. We'll stand in that day. And if we are Christian, he'll say, why? Why did you not run well? Why did you not rouse yourselves? Why were you like that? I sent my son. He gave his all. I can't see much in you except his merits. We have to rouse ourselves to come to that place where we say, give me this mountain. Now, a promise made. Caleb reminds Joshua, they've come, remember, over the Jordan after 40 years of wandering or so. Caleb reminds Joshua of an event 40 years ago. If you remember, they came from Egypt and they arrived at the promised land and they didn't go in. And we'll see why now, because it's reminded. In Joshua 14, verse 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Don't you remember, Joshua, 40 years ago or so, when Moses, God through Moses, made a promise to thee, Joshua, and to myself? This goes back many years. So let us examine the scene. The children of Israel had arrived at the promised land and were prepared to enter 40 years previous to this. And in Numbers 13, verse 5, Caleb and Joshua returned. They had been told to cross into the promised land and see what kind of a land it is, what kind of people live there, what will be the difficulties. And Caleb and Joshua returned and showed them the fruits and the land flowed with milk and honey. It is a rich land. Yet they admitted there were many strong cities and people. And Joshua said, well, you know, we'll be able to overcome them. They report. But the other people that went to spy the land brought a very different report. They said, oh, there are massive tribes there. They're like giants. They'll destroy us. What has God brought us to? And the people panicked. You can understand. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Come on, says Caleb, we're able to do it. We have the people, we have the manpower, we have the strength to do it. The reports were very different. They brought evil tidings, which brought great disappointment. And the people wept, for they were weary of the wilderness. They were weary of the journey. However, very sadly, they said something they should never have said. Do you know what it was? We wish we'd been left in Egypt as slaves. We were better off there than facing these perils. That's what they said. Joshua and Caleb try again. And they speak unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Rebel not, fear them not. However, God's anger is provoked at what they said. We wish we'd never come. And Moses prays for the people earnestly. And the Lord said, I have pardoned, I forgive them according to thy word, except for this. But surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Doubtless he shall come into the land, both Caleb and also Joshua the son of Nun. Not one of this vast tribe will enter the land. Their children did. Only Caleb and Joshua. You cannot mess about with God. You cannot in any way play about with him. They faced 40 years in the wilderness, and the people mourned. How many times in the long history of the church have people, the church is drawn near to God and to blessing, and something has distracted them through some folly or fear? How long has Wales been? It's over 100 years since the revival and over 40 years since the effect of the revival. So we too know something of the 40 years and more maybe of desolation. So we come to a promise claimed. And now we see the 40 years are over. They've come again to the edge of the promised land. Caleb is still alive. Joshua is alive. They are very old, but they are the leaders of the people. So time to claim the mountain. The time to claim has come, but the claim must be made with great perseverance. There's an example in Jeremiah, when he also was praying for the people when they were in great trouble and had been disobedient to him. And this is how Jeremiah prayed. Remember thy covenants to thy people. Remember thy promise to thy people. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. What is he daring to say? Don't disgrace your honor. We are thy people. Now, if any of you remember the revival people like I do, they often say this, Lord, these are thy promise. Honor thy word. They're quite daring. You have promised this. honor thy word. They prayed believing, not prayed saying, but prayed believing. Do you? Jeremiah is pleading there. We come back to Joshua now. This calls for perseverance in prayer, an aching heart for the glory of God in our generation. Now we're back now in the period that they've come to the promised land. I had to give you that background and of their disobedience. Now all that's left to go there now, a vast multitude, but they are the children of those who came out of Egypt. Their parents, none of them entered, but their children, and Joshua and Caleb. So Joshua, in Joshua 14, verse 6, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Do you remember the promise, Joshua, that he made to you and myself? Caleb is a very determined man, and he vividly recalls that time. 40 years old was I then. A long time has gone. 40 years old was I then, when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and again I brought him word as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I, listen to this, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Now then, even during that long 40 years, Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God. Even in the time of the appalling of the golden calf and the dreadful things that they were guilty of, Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God. He's quite an outspoken man, and he's not afraid of referring to the disobedience of the people and showing his own determination. He wants a certain area, this mountain. In verse 9, and Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet are trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed thy God. You've been good. I love you, Caleb. You're old and Joshua's old. You're both stricken in years. And nevertheless, I have heard you. This means that through all the circumstances and wanderings of the people and the appalling episodes that took place, Caleb never wavered in his faith and in his faithfulness to God, and lived a life of grace. Now, we live in a time of disobedience, but are you living a life of grace? Are you wholly following the Lord? Are you straining every muscle as if you had to jump high and cross a bar? Are you willing to give your time and the priority of your life to this great God? For you have to meet him, and you have to stand before him, and as a believer too, are accountable for our Christian life, as well as the fact that we are his in Christ. Caleb's incredible words in verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive. That's good to begin with. The Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, whilst the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years. As yet, now listen to this, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Look at me, Moses. Look at me, Joshua. I'm just as strong as I was when I stood before Moses. Yes, I'm 85, but I'm strong. As my strength was then, so is my strength now, both to go out and to come in. I am determined to glorify God. That's his determination, Caleb's claim. Now, therefore, he says, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. His determination is not daunted. Now, have we such a claim and resolve in our hearts? Can we say, regarding our generation, oh, but the chapels are closing and taken down and used as bingo halls and what have you? Yes, you can talk like that if you like. But what about you? What about you? Is there a resolve in your hearts to say, Lord, Lord, I want to see this land glorified again. Open my silent mouth to speak of thee. Revive my lazy mind to think of thee. Bestir my eyes to read about thee. Lord, make me thy soul that I wholly follow after the Lord. Yet around us sin prevails. Men hate God and live for their own gratifications. Yes, I know. Does that make you give up? Oh, it's hopeless. Oh, it's hopeless. Or will you still plead? This land is dominated by mountains, the mountains of unbelief. Oh, what a mountain. You say, oh, I can't take that one on. Yes, you can. Yes, you must. Yes, you have no choice. The mountain of ruling people making foolish laws, totally incapable of honoring God. What a mountain. Will you climb it? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. The desolation and unworthy gods that we attend today, what about us? Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return. Our God is gracious, nor will leave the desolate to mourn. His voice commands the tempest forth and stills the stormy wave, and though his arm be strong to smite, 'tis also strong to save. Long hath the night of sorrow reigned, the dawn shall bring us light, God shall appear, and we shall rise with gladness in his sight. Listen. Our hearts, if God we seek to know, shall know him and rejoice. His coming like the morn shall be, like morning songs his voice. As dew upon the tender herb, diffusing fragrance round, as showers that usher in the spring and cheer the thirsty ground. So shall his presence bless our souls and shed a joyful light. That hallowed morn shall chase away the sorrows of the night. Are you a Christian? Are you part-time? Are you just occasional? Are you just a nod? What are you? I can't stand in your place, nor you in mine. You stand alone before God. You cannot pray with God. Life is brief. We're soon gone. We're soon gone. We live as if we're going to live forever on this earth. We do not. And even 80 years is like a shadow. Now, the promise fulfilled. Caleb's wish is granted. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because, why? He wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The requirements are necessary to follow him. By an individual church, do we, and by individuals, is it necessary to be so devoted today? If we had Olympics in Wales, would you say, well, since it's in Wales, we don't need to practice much? Or would you practice? Would you go for the gold? What would you do? You'd give your all. Miracles can happen. Now, the name of Hebron before was Kiljath Arba. Arba was a great man among the Anakims, the son of Anak, and they were a great peril. So much of the land had to be gained, but eventually Caleb overcomes. That is, the land he'd asked for is a very dangerous land with a very savage and a cruel tribe, yet he overcomes them. We in our days also have mountains and many an Anak to overcome. And our cry also is, give me this mountain. Let me mention a few things. Where do we begin? We wholly follow after the Lord our God, and we begin by believing in the gospel. Do you? God, the Almighty God, the pure, the clean God, sent his Son into this world on a mission. He was well fitted for it. He had to take on human nature without sin, true, to be like us in a way, to understand us, to sympathize with our frailty. But he was also God. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you? Do you love him? Do you love him enough to worship him? Do you love him enough to honor the person of the Trinity, the name, and the day? Do you love him that much? In his death, he won heaven for us. All my sins, and what a lot, are put on him. They're there. The punishment of death, he said, I paid. And he takes the punishment for all your horrible sins and mine. Past sins, awful to think of them. Past sins. Present sins, and sadly, future sins. That's not an excuse for sin. They're all put on him. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor contempt on all my pride. But that's good. But then Jesus will say, you see, I washed you, I made you clean. You approached me with repentance and faith, and I have received you, but you are naked. You need to be dressed. But you know what I've done for you? I obeyed God's law. I didn't need to, but I did it for you. So it counts for you. Sometimes we call it a robe of righteousness. Come here, my child. You have repented? Yes. You've exercised the gift of faith? Yes. I washed you. Let me robe you in my life. Come here. You may call God Father. I'll tell you a secret. There's a place reserved in heaven for you. Now, have you got that? Have you got that? or do you just say it? Does it burn in your heart? Does it thrill your soul? Does it fill your being? Or are you going full throttle to hell? Which is it? And when you're going full throttle, the brakes don't work very well. Far before time, beyond creation's dawn, before the sun and moon and stars were born, salvation's plan for sinners lost and done was counseled forth by God, the three in one, and at last it reaches you. Mountains. Early in my ministry, I used to have, when I was a minister, I started it after a few years, I think, a little room. And if people wanted to be helped regarding coming to the Lord or to share some problem, they would come. I would be there a very long time, quite often. It varied. But I learned one lesson. There are no small problems. Now I say that. Whatever your problem is big for you. And I learned to respect. A person might come and say, you may think this is nothing, but it's not nothing, I said. It's blocking your joy. It's blocking your sight of God. Now let's come to God about it. So whether it is a big problem or a little problem, I put it like this, supposing you're standing on a 10-foot wall in front of you and you're right up to it. Well, it's huge. There may be a mountain behind it, but this wall is huge. So I say, it's only a little wall. It's not little to you. There are no little problems. There are no small mountains. Mountains are big. And in our own strength, they're insurmountable. What are these mountains? Daniel Rowlands, Howell Harris, and William Williams Pantycelyn, with great suffering and being stoned and left for dead very often, turned Wales upside down. And a period of 200 years of revival was the result of that. But what a mountain it was. If you'd read the history of the Calvinistic Methodist fathers, you see, what a mountain. How could they carry on when professional beaters were sent after them? But they went on. Why? They wholly followed the Lord their God. And they had a burning message in their hearts. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Do you believe that? A parent can be overwhelmed by an unbelieving daughter or son. It's a mountain. Of course, it's a mountain. What shall we do? I'll tell you what to do. Don't look at the bottom of the mountain. Look at the top. Look at your God. Look at your Savior. And believe. And ask for faith to believe. And pray believing. It'll take much of the anguish out of your heart and bring a quiet joy there too. Sorrows and difficulties and unkindness, and there are unreasonable men in this world, and so the list goes on. We've all got mountains. Are they impossible? Oh no. Oh no. You wholly follow the Lord your God, and you look up to him, believing in him and trusting in him. We have a choice to be earnest in our prayer and unhappy, or to be believing in God and determined. I mean, they're both good, but which would you rather? Earnest and unhappy, or believing and determined, and believing in a great God who is able to turn a nation upside down, and even the most hard hearts, he can melt. It's an amazing thing. We must look up to God. We must claim his promises. Now, this is our chapel. Is your heart in it? Is your heart in it? There is no easy task for any minister. There are always sidelines and critics and so on. But you go on. You go on. You go on, whatever it may be. The mountains of desperate need of the church today. We need to be faithful to the truth, faithful in prayer, both private and public. We need to be committed to the church and desire the glory of God. If we had a glimpse of the glory of God, no effort would be too much. No gift from our little pockets would be too much. We say, here I am, Lord, take me as I am, and everything we owe it to him. Oh, we do. We need to be faithful and committed. People run away from the word commit. I don't like to be committed. I'm willing to go. I'm willing to give. And I remember in churches I've been in, they give what is their due in the collection, but they don't give themselves. Well, have they given anything? Have they given anything at all? Mountains must be overcome. Let us gird on our armor. My dear friends, are you expecting great things? Or do you want great things? And whoever your minister is, love him. They are the loneliest men on earth. I know. The loneliest. Hold up their arms in prayer and look past them. Look past them to God. Look past them there. Let me read you a lovely hymn now. Our God, thou shinest here, thine own this latter day. To us thy radiant steps appear, we watch thy glorious ways. Now listen to this. Not only olden ages felt the presence of the Lord, not only with the Father dwelt the Spirit and thy word, doth not the Spirit still descend and bring the heavenly fire? Doth not he still thy church extend and waiting souls inspire? Come, Holy Ghost, in us arise. Be this thy mighty hour, and make thy willing people wise to know thy day of power. Bear us aloft, more glad, more strong, on thy celestial wing, and grant us grace to look and long for our returning King. He draweth near, he standeth by, he fills our eyes with tears. Come, King of grace, thy people cry, and bring the glorious years. Just imagine what's ahead of us if we follow that way. Now let's pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we ask you to give us faith to believe and faith and determination to ask. The mountains that we face personally and the mountains of our land and the mountains of unbelief in our churches. Oh, Father, have mercy upon us. For this we ask in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.